Job chapter 14, we'll read one verse. Look in verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You can be seated this morning and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and that for another opportunity and another time and that to come and just praise you and worship you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the good testimonies that have been heard. And folk want to praise you for who you are and for what you've done. And I want to do that, Lord, for what you've done for me and saving me and making me fit for heaven. And Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we just pray this morning you'd help us while we preach. Lord, that you'd come by and strengthen us and help us to help your people. And maybe if there's somebody here that is lost, that does not know you, that they'd come to be saved. And Lord, before it's too late, we're running out of time. They're running out of time. And Lord, they need to realize that. And this church needs to realize that we're running out of time to win folk and that to you. While we preach it on us afresh, let the Holy Spirit move among people and help folk come to you today in salvation and in praise. And we'll give the glory for it all. Save that sinner that's near its tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach having a thought out of Job chapter 14. And this will be understand the title of the message. I mean, it's a real deep title. I'm preaching on two questions in Job chapter 14. Job asked many questions in Job chapter 14. He asked if a man dies in verse 10. He says, where is he? He asked a question in verse 14. And I'll deal with this one after a while. He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? And he says in verse 16, he asks God, he said, dost thou watch over my sin? And let me say today that God does know your sin and my sin alike. But we start out in verse 4 as Job begins in verse 1 and says that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So he begins to talk about the trouble that we have in this life. In verse 2, he talks about how brief that life really is. And let me say this, that no matter how old you are or how young you are, life is brief. I mean, what did James say? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. We're here today and gone tomorrow. And in verse 3, he talks about God and that judging him. But he comes to verse 4. And by the way, it's going to be the Lord that judges you, friend. He's going to take a Bible up in heaven one day. You know, this is what he wants us to live by. It's what this word that we're saved by. It's this word that we should be guided by. And when we get to glory, it's going to be this book, friend, that judges us. And you need to understand that. But we get to verse 4 and says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he said, not one. So he answers his very question right here. Let me say that word unclean means something that is dirty, something that is foul, or something that is dirty with sin. Kind of like that girl, that lady, that woman that Miss Sarah sung about this morning. Come to God there, come to Jesus. He is God, by the way, that come and dwell in the flesh, according to John chapter 1. And listen, here it is. She come and she was dirty and foul and dirty in sin and steeped in it before him. And she was unclean. Now pray for my throat. Now listen, in the Old Testament economy, you need to understand that there was things unclean. There were certain actions, there were certain people, there were certain animals that were considered to be unclean. But let me say today, friend, that if you're lost before Jesus, you're considered unclean today, and you need to get saved. Let me say number one this morning, man in his best state is still in sin, and still unclean. I don't care how good you are this morning. He said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he said, not one. Isaiah chapter 64, he said, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf. So what did Isaiah say? He said, we're all as an unclean thing. Now listen, before I got saved, I stood before God guilty. I stood before God unclean. I stood before Him dirty, and that rejected before God. Amen. Ain't that right, church? Help me out now. Listen, if you're unsaved, you're standing before God unclean. He ain't going to have nothing to do with you. Listen, God don't want to have anything to do with something that is unclean. In our best state, and what did he say over there, the writer did, that man in his best state is altogether vanity. I mean, we're worthless and that before God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, I said that for all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't get away from that. I could not get away from that. Do you know your mama and your papa can't get away from that? You say, I love mama. I'm glad you love your mama and papa. But I'm going to tell you today, if they've never come to Christ, they're unclean before God. I tell them old timers sitting over there in the nursing home, just because they're old don't mean they're going to get to heaven. Amen. Hey, just because I'm a preacher does not mean I'm going to get to heaven. Why I'm going to get to heaven is because I got saved one Sunday night and asked Jesus to save me. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3, he said, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I began to consider this verse when I looked at it and thought about the unclean thing. And man in his best state is unclean. And I begin to think about the leper. You know, the leper in Leviticus chapter 13 is the first time we find that word in the Bible. I'm referring to that person that has got the disease and that of leprosy. And the Bible said in Leviticus 13, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now I'm going to tell you, if we're looking at leprosy in the Bible as the true, and that disease, it was going to eat them up, and it was going to begin to affect their body, and it was going to kill them if something didn't happen. And I tell you, if you don't deal and that with your lost condition today, it's going to kill you. It's what's going to keep you and that from coming to God. You need to understand that this morning. You, no matter how well you think of yourself, you are unclean before God. Do you know that God is no respecter of persons? Do you know that? God don't respect you as a person. You know why God loves me? You know why God sees me? You know how He sees me? He sees me having His Son. Amen. In my heart. Yes. He sees His righteousness and that applied to me, and that it was Him that forgave me because of the work of Calvary, yes. Not because of my work today. Listen, He said, Isaiah 64 said, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You know, there was nothing that leper could do to get rid of leprosy. Do you know that? He said, well, there was one thing. I know, and I'll get there in just a second. But as I said, God does not respect who you are. If you look in 2 Kings chapter 5, you'll find that King Uzziah, notice he was a king. He done some things over there that God did not want him to do, if I ain't mistaken. He went into the temple and began to perform the sacrifice and have the incense in the censer over there. And the Bible said that when them 80 priests went in there that were valiant men to take him out, that they were amazed when they looked at him because God had smote him with leprosy. And the Bible said in 2 Kings over there that the king dwelt in a several house. That's a house where the lepers stayed at until the day of his death. Let me tell you this. God didn't care if it was the king. And God didn't care if it was the poorest man out there on the street. That leprosy, friend, was dirty before him. God don't respect you for who you are. If God has any respect for you, it's because of Jesus. Amen. This morning. You need to come to know him. Not know about him, but know him. As a lot of good folks go to church. A lot of folk get up and they go to work every day and they support their family and they do everything that they're supposed to do and they live a good moral life and good to their neighbors and good to their spouse and good to their children, but they don't have Jesus. And that may be where you're at today, that you don't have Jesus. Can I tell you today, friend, that you stand before God unclean today? You say, well, I do good. I listen, I try hard. I do everything that I can. I've made a change. Listen, I've not made a change. He made a change in me. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that change came. Listen, I look back on it, and I was only 14 years old when I got saved, still saved. But listen, I look back on it, and I can see the change now that took place. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. I look back at the path that I was headed on and the road that I was going down. And it was a sure road of death and hell. But listen, I was in the wrong places. I starting to do the wrong things with the wrong people. And boy, I tell you what, because I had a mom and daddy that drug me to church Sunday in and Sunday out. I'd made a profession when I was just a little bitty feller at 5 years old. Backyard Bible school. I remember that very well. But listen, I remember the Bible school, and I remember talking to the preacher, but there was nothing never really happened in my heart. But boy, I'm telling you, the night that I got before him at 14 years old, they something made a change. You ever been to that place? You ever let God clean you up? Let God clean you up. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to clean folk up before God ever catches them. That old saying is you can't clean a fish before you catch it. You just can't do it. And we're trying to get people to act right and talk right and dress right and do things right that when God ain't even in their heart. You know what that is? That's just reformation. Hey, listen, reformation ain't going to last. You know, hey, listen, I may quit tomorrow and I hope not, but I'm going to tell you, there's something inside of me that wants to keep going, friend. That's the reason I ain't quit yet. Amen. Hey, Peter said it like this. He said, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Hey, listen, you can take that old sow and clean her, wash her, put a bow on her, cut her loose, and she'll find the first little bit of mud, and she'll root and waller and turn and twist, and she'll get in that, and she'll have a heyday. Why? That's her nature. You know why that dog turns back to that vomit, that old nasty stuff? It's his nature. You know why you struggle, friend, if you're lost today? Because it's your nature and that to serve your flesh. It's your nature. That's why you can't do it on your own. That's why you can't stay doing it. You know, they say people don't do anything for 21 days. Do anything for 21 days. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just telling you what they say. If they lied, I guess I did. And I don't know who they are. But anyway. But you know what? If it's going to be real, it's going to have to come from the Lord. So a lot of folk want to reform, and they want to look clean, and they want to act clean, but they're not clean. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. The Lord is dealing with the religious folk. There's a lot of folk want religion. And I know what them old timers mean when they said somebody got religion. I understand what they're talking about. But some people just want religion. I'm going to tell you, religion will kill you. Religion will work you to death. Religion won't leave you with any joy. Religion is good to live by, But it's horrible to die by. I want something that's good to live by and something that's good to die by. I want something that when I got to lay down and draw my life's breath. You know, I was thinking this morning before I left the house, it's not what I've done that I know that I'm saved. It's what He done for me. I can tell you a lot of things that I've done for Christ, but I also tell you a lot of things He's done for me. I can take you back and I can show you some things. I was sitting in the study last night, and I began to dwell on that. And I just began to think. I felt horrible there for a while last night. And I just sat in my study and didn't really want to move, because every time I'd move, I'd about get sick. And I began to think. And I don't know why the Lord brought it to my mind, but I was just praying. I was thinking back, Lord, just show me some of the times where You've come by. And I'll never forget. I was just in a bad way there at church one night. And I mean, the Lord was just a deal of mine. When I say in a bad way, it's a good thing. And I mean, the Lord was just burdened on me. And boy, I just really need to testify more than anything. Some of y'all know this story, but I was sitting on that front pew over to the right-hand side. And I'll never forget. The Lord was just doing me. I needed to say something. And I mean, I had some preach in me. Still got preach in me. And listen, I wouldn't say nothing. I sat there. And finally, I got to the point where I said, Lord, my pastor had already got up behind the pulpit. And I said, Lord, if You'll get him down. I don't know how the Lord was going to get him down. But I said, Lord, if You'll just get him down, I'll testify. I'll preach. I'll do whatever You want me to do tonight. I'll do it. And I had no more than prayed that. And Brother Eddie was sitting back behind me about three rows. And he stood up and he said, Preacher, before you preach, I got a song I need to sing. I thought, oh my. I said, Lord, if You'll get him down, I'll testify or preach a little while. So I always sat right next to my pastor, and he came and plopped right back down beside me. And I leaned over to him. I said, I got to say something tonight. When Brother Eddie got done singing, man, I began to testify and preach a while, and God helped us. Now, was that a great big thing? It might not have been to them people sitting out there, but it is a great big thing to me to see God move. You say, what do you mean see God move? He got him down from behind the pulpit, didn't he? I'm just telling you, there's some things that I've seen God move. And that's just some of that little stuff. When I wasn't but 16 and 17 years old, I've seen God move for me. And I love it. Take your Bible and go to the book of Mark, chapter 1. Talking about being unclean. In the thought of leprosy. Look in verse 40. Now remember, I told you it wouldn't be healed unless the Lord done something. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and saying unto Him, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Let me say this, that this leper had something that he knew was going to kill him. He knew he could not fix it. He knew he could not heal it, but he found out that Jesus could. I don't know how this leper found out that Jesus could help him, but somewhere along the way, somebody had told him, had said, hey, there's this man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, he's healing all kinds of folk and helping them, and he could help you. Can I tell you the same thing today? That if you're unclean before God, unsaved, I never come to Him, I never had a chance, hey, He can help you today. If you'd come to Him. And so here it is. He said, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. I believe if you come told the Lord that. Said, Lord, if You'll just make me clean, I want You to save me. He'll do it today. And Jesus moved with compassion. Now watch what. Ain't you glad He moves with compassion? You say, what do you mean He moves with compassion? Jesus don't have to do nothing. But he has care and compassion for those that are lost. Has care and compassion for those that are in a position that can't help themselves. And if you're lost, listen to me now. If you're lost, you can't help yourself. And so he said, put forth his hand and touched him. And saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately. You know, when I got saved, I was immediately saved. I didn't have to come back for a second working of grace. I didn't have to come back to receive the Holy Spirit. The night that I got saved, I was immediately saved. And been saved ever since then. And he said the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, now verse 43, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Now watch what he said. Show thyself to the priest and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, why would the Lord want him to go down and that to the temple and go to the... One, they were still under the law. And the law said that if he was healed, that he was to go offer a sacrifice. I believe, too, that Jesus wanted to see them bunch of religious folk down there, and that old priest that was corrupt, when that leper, who's not a leper anymore, come in and begin to offer that sacrifice for being healed of leprosy. I believe Jesus wanted them to know that he was on the scene. Read the next verse, verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much. Well, I tell you, church, if we really believe that we're saved and we're going to die and go to hell and it's the best thing we've ever had, shouldn't we be out publishing it much? Listen, and to blaze abroad the matter. He set things on fire, man. He got cured of leprosy. You remember what the blind man said? He said, talking about Jesus. And he said, I don't know much about this man Jesus. But he said, I do know one thing, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. You didn't have to convince him that Jesus had healed him. You didn't have to convince him that Jesus made a difference in him. Hey, listen, he knew that. And he went out, this leper did, and began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Take your Bible and go to Luke 17. I believe this is where we find ourselves a lot of times, is in Luke 17. We find 10 lepers. And the Bible said in verse 12 of Luke 17, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why? They were unclean. They had a covering over their lip, and they'd have to cry, unclean, unclean. And the Bible said that they lifted up their voices. Now they're together, voices, plural. And said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. There it is again. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were making their trip down to the priest. And in the midst of all that, they looked at one another and said, boy, there's something happened to you. And that other turned to the right, looked over here, and he said, boy, there's something happened to you. And then he begins to look at his arm and look at his fingers and look at wherever that leprosy might have been. He said, no, it happened to you, it happened to me. And boy, look what happened right here. And the Bible said, right as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Boy, this old boy was happy not to have leprosy no more. Some of us have been saved for so long, we forget what it's like to be lost. Amen. We forget what it's like dying, going to hell. We forget what it's like to just didn't know what tomorrow held.
Just didn't know. But no, there's something wrong. And something wasn't right. And boy, if somebody didn't help us, we've tried everything. Don't you think lepers tried everything they could? Well, if I was down to leprosy, I'd be trying everything that I could to get rid of my leprosy. Well, if I was in sin, wouldn't you be trying to do everything to get rid of sin? Because that's what's killing you. Some of y'all don't believe that this morning, but that's what's killing you. Well, I want you to look what he done, though. He remembered what it's like because he just had leprosy. And the Bible said he went and he was healed and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Boy, he come back. He was a half breed. That's what a Samaritan was. They were half Jew and half Gentile. And neither nobody wanted to have anything to do with them. You know what? Now you listen to me now. God will save people that you don't even think ought to get saved. God will save people that if you'd be honest, you don't even like. God will save them. Why is that, preacher? Because they come to him. Look what happens, though. He come back and give him thanks. That's what folk were doing this morning. I told you Wednesday night, if God will just keep coming by here, everything will be okay. And boy, when he showed up this morning, I thought, yeah, it's going to be okay. Come back and gave thanks. Verse 17, here's what Jesus said, though. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found. They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Friend, I'm not telling you that you had to testify this morning or that you even had to raise your hand. But if you're saved somewhere in all that singing and testifying, in your heart, you ought to have been praising the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, friend, if you'll go over to the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that it's the sacrifice of the praise of our lips that we need to give Him. And in raising our hand, we give praise unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, shame on us if we didn't praise Him this morning for saving us. Shame on us today. Listen, a lot of folk trying to get clean and can't. Not without Jesus. Listen, are you clean today? Are you clean? You need to be clean. If you ain't clean, you need to be clean. Quickly, look with me. Quickly. I feel like I need to move on. If I didn't, I wouldn't do this. I want you to look. Now let me say this. Look in verse 14 of Job 14. I want you to look. And let me say that if you're clean today, you ought to live clean, by the way. Amen. You ought to live clean. If you're going to be clean, if you ought to live clean. You ought to have clean ways about you. And I'm paying attention to what time it is. Stay with me now. Stay with me. But he asked a question in verse 14. Now remember, I'm preaching on two questions. If a man die, shall he live again? Do you know that all of us are going to die? The only way that you're not going to die is if you get to go out in the rapture if you're saved. Do you know that? I mean, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51, Paul said, behold, I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not every one of us is going to have to die, but we're all going to have to give up his flesh. But in short of the rapture, the gathering of the church, then you're going to have to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 said, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So we see that death comes and then judgment comes. But Job asked a question. What did he say? He said, if a man die, shall he live again? Now I want you to take your Bible and go to Job chapter 19. And he answers his own question
just like he did in the first one. Job just didn't answer it right away. So Job says right here in Job chapter 19 and verse 25, "For I know." It's a good thing to know something, ain't it? Do you know that you're saved? Know God's happy with you? "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." How'd Job know that? Man, he's got some Baptists to be. Some Baptists don't even believe that today, bless their heart. In verse 26, now watch what he said. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed with me." Job said, even after the skin worms, after they put me in the ground out there and they ate me up, he said, "In my flesh, I'll see God." Job knew something about living again and knew something about that body. I want you to understand quickly today that, friend, that if you're saved, then you have eternal life. You'll never die. Hey, listen, John chapter 10, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What was it that Jesus said to Martha over there? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Let me ask you something. Do you believe you'll live again after you die? I believe that I'll go to sleep here and wake up over yonder. Listen, friend, this old body's going to die. Like I say, short of the rapture, it's going to die. But to live again, you've got to have eternal life on the inside. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that this life is in His Son. "He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Job was trusting in the Lord. If I slip off into death, don't worry about me. That's just not something I say. That's something I know. Why? Because of the Word of God. David put it like this. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He said in Psalms chapter 116 and verse 15, he said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." You may think that when you die, that's the end of it. But that ain't it. For the child of God will never die. We'll simply just, as the old saying is, change houses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, if you want to go with me, or verse 1, if you want to go, you can. If you don't, just stay with me and I'll read it to you. Seems like here lately I've read this more and more at gravesides and funerals here. But I love this old scripture. He said, "For we know," though that word is again, no, K-N-O-W, "that if our earthly house or this tabernacle were dissolved," what's he talking about? Your body. "We have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I got a body up there. You say, "Well, when you die, what happens?" You cease to live here and you live there if you're saved. To make it easy, I guess this morning I'm going to answer that question just like Job did. If a man dies, shall he live again? Sure he will. If you're saved. If you're clean and that before God. But if you're unclean, you've never been saved, then friend, you die in that forever. As I look in Revelation chapter 20, and we come to what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, a place that still scares me today. That place, not because I'm going to be there. That place is where folk that have died in their sin are judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You know, the very first man and woman that sinned in the Bible was Adam and Eve, and they found a place to hide from God, didn't they? They were among the trees. But did you know on that day, if you're lost and you stand before God, and that before Him, at the great white throne judgment, not only will heaven and earth be fled away and found no place for them, there'll be no place for you to run and hide. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead," notice who we're talking about, the dead, not the living, "the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the" who? "The dead, which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Will a man live again? If he's clean before God, he will. Not in your works, but in the works of Christ at Calvary. But if you're trying to get there on your own, you'll not live again. But you'll die forever. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Brother Jeff, let's get us a verse of invitation this morning. If you've never been saved, I want you to come. I want you to come. Listen, you don't have to wait for us to start singing. You don't have to wait for me to pray. Listen, if you're lost and you need to come and get saved, I want you to come this morning. He can help you if you're unclean. He can clean you. Do you know that? If you'd just come. If He's knocking on your heart, He said, Revelation chapter 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and will open the door," He said, "I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me." How about it this morning? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? You said, "Preacher, I've been saved." Great. That's great. Then keep living for Him. You praise Him and you thank Him and you go out and you blaze abroad the path and tell others about Christ Jesus. You live clean before Him. If you've never been saved, today's your day. It's no accident that you're here. He wants to do something for you if you'll just come to Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You, Lord, for what You've given us to preach. We've tried to be very attentive to the Holy Spirit this morning. And Lord, I know times got a little long on us today, but Lord, I pray that You'd continue to deal with hearts. And Lord, I know You're wanting to do something for folk. And I pray that if there's somebody here lost, I pray they won't turn You away. They're unclean. And they're going to have to see their self lost before they can come and get saved. And I pray they'll get saved today before it's too late. No matter who they are, what they are, don't matter. You want to save them. And I thank You for that. Lord, thank You for eternal life that we have in You. I pray that You'll move during this invitation. Help right now. Save somebody. Help somebody. Maybe folk with burdens this morning. Pray they'll come for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray.